Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. At the beginning of the current legislative session, we reached out to several freshman lawmakers about their goals and expectations for the upcoming session. This week, as we look ahead to the closing days in Pierre, we welcome back a few of those lawmakers for a review. First up, Representative Tim Goodwin from District 30. He's joining us now from Pierre. Tim Goodwin, welcome back to In the Moment.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate you taking time during this busy week for you, I'm sure. Now, to remind our listeners, District 30, it's 110 by 80 miles and covers places like Custer and part of Pennington County and Wall and all sorts of stuff. An interesting district that you have there. Beautiful place.
And Fall River County, too. You can't forget Hot Springs and all the things that are connected with Fall River County, the southwest county of the state.
Absolutely. So give me what stands out to you through this first session? What sort of surprised you about your first year serving in Pierre?
Well, I think the first thing that happened is we had that IM-22 that was passed by the voters, and it was a big discussion right away if we're going to do anything about it or not. I voted to repeal it and replace it. The other way you could have went was just let it run through the judiciary. But once Judge Mark Barnett ruled it unconstitutional beyond a reasonable doubt, there was no doubt in my mind we should just repeal it and try to get some stuff in place. And we have actually did quite a bit here. There's not everything that's going to be done, but we did quite a bit here. But I guess the discouraging part on it is that everybody's looking at legislatures, and there isn't a legislature that's did anything corrupt that anybody can even come up with ever. But it was the executive branch that, you know, had the EB-5 and the gear up and all that. And so we don't supervise any state employees or anybody in the executive branch. That's the governor and his cabinet. So I guess that's probably the biggest thing to start off with. And I could go for the whole time. You better stop me and ask me.
Right.
I'll just ramble on.
I remember that you felt very strongly against the democracy credits. That's not part of anything that's being replaced at this point, is it?
No, that was my understanding. That was part of it that was unconstitutional, the democracy credits and how they were distributed and using taxpayer funding and all that. Yeah.
So you think the voters will be satisfied with some of the efforts to replace elements of IM-22 in your district? Do you think those voters are going to be satisfied when you go home and talk to them?
I think so. The one thing that we got to keep in mind, and I appreciate the voters and what they did, but anytime something was spent, well, they spent $1,700,000 to get it passed, and only $23,300 was from South Dakota residents. So there was a really big effort from outside interest to get it passed. So I want to say it's brainwashing, but it definitely was slanted so that it would get the people to vote the way they wanted to.
Do you think it will be wrapped up satisfactorily this week, or do you think that there will be a summer session?
We've got quite a few things in progress, but there's actually going to be a couple of the items. There will be a summer study. But we're still way ahead of it. We went to the judiciary because the judiciary wasn't going to look at it until this next fall. So we're way ahead of the game by defeating it and then repealing it and then, you know, get things written up this session. And hopefully by the end of the summer when the summer study's over, we could be in pretty good shape.
Let's talk about taxation, because that was one of the committees you were on. So some of the highlights from that.
Okay, well, I'm the only legislator here that I know about 105 that had two bills to reduce taxes. Now, I didn't say increase, I said reduced. I know that's not popular here because everybody wants to keep feeding the alligator and it gets bigger and bigger. Nobody wants to kill it. And I had one bill that there's a statute in the half-cent sales tax that was passed that went $70 million went to teachers pay, $40 million went to tax relief for property taxes. And there's a statute that once the internet sales hits $100 million that the half-cent sales tax goes back to the taxpayer in 20 million increments, a tenth of a penny. And I thought, geez, this is going to be a layup. I'll just get this bill written up and take it before my own committee, the tax committee, and get it passed and go before the floor, and I'll leave Pierre with the half-cent sales tax gone. Well, I got beat in committee 9-5. I just couldn't believe it. I mean, there's just very few legislators here that want to reduce taxes. I mean, it was really a shock to me. So anyway, I licked my wounds on that one. I've got a plan for next year. Senator Partridge, who was in the House last year, introduced that amendment. So we're going to team together and try to get it so that once internet sales, we get the gauge going, and when internet sales hit $100 million, we can give the taxpayers back their half penny.
What's been the buzz on that as far as obviously the budget, is going to be a lot smaller as lawmakers try to struggle to, get it within where it needs to be based on our current projections. How much do you anticipate those numbers are going to change once, sales tax from places like Amazon starts coming through?
Well, that's a big one, and we got lucky there because they voluntarily said they'd remit their sales tax for that. So it should be a pretty good boon, and there's a chance, too, that the federal government could rule that they have to pay sales tax. So if that could happen, it's going to be a boom for South Dakota, but I'm just disappointed in our projections. Our projections for revenue was based on, the farm income where, farmers and ranchers bought new machinery, real expensive combines and tractors. But, that was back when corn was $7 and cattle were over $2. And now they've all bought 50% of that. Corn's like $2.90, cattle are a buck. And so to continue using those projections and what you have in your budget isn't very sound management or good economics. And we should all, go with the economy. If the economy is doing great, we should all benefit. But if it's not, state government needs to tuck in their belt. Even state employees, possibly take a 10% decrease in pay until the economy gets going again.
If you're just joining us, we're listening to In the Moment. My guest is Tim Goodwin, Representative Tim Goodwin from District 30. And Tim, I'm wondering about this House Bill 1209, which addressed the sale of state property at the Star Academy, which would be in your district. Can you give us an overview of how that sort of played out and then where it is now this week?
Sure. 1209 was a bill that there's a bunch of bills selling state properties. And being a fiscal conservative and, I think we should have less government, not more government. So anytime we could sell state property, especially if they're vacant, get them back on the tax rolls, and whoever buys it, maybe put a business in there, that would definitely help us all. Star Academy came up on our crossover day, which all the bills have to be done by midnight that day, so it's a real hectic day. Came up about 4 o'clock. I could be a little off on the times, but to sell it, and I voted against selling it because I was kind of upset that it closed in the first place. The administration acts like they waved a magic wand and ended juvenile delinquency, which isn't the case. They just quit sending kids there by making the standards different. And so they choked it down so there wasn't any, participants at Star Academy, so then they closed it. So that kind of irritated me, and I thought with the meth problem we have in the state, and like I said, there's still juvenile delinquency. We get a new crop all the time. That I thought we should keep it open. But then we had through political maneuver, you can bring back a bill one time, and that passed. And so from 4 o'clock to when we voted on the second time, which is, let's say, 8 o'clock that night, my emails lit up, my phone lit up, and I talked to the mayor of Custer, the economic development guys, the chamber guys, and they said sell it. And their reason was, let's get it back on the tax rolls. Whoever buys it, they'll put a new business in there, and we can get needed jobs for the community. So, I had to listen to my constituency. So I not only had to get vote the right way the second time to sell it, but I had to get about 15 other members of the House to go along with me. But we did pass it, and it's up in the Senate now to be sold.
So, what kind of new business could occupy that kind of acreage in Custer and be staffed and everything?
I heard there was going to be a resort going there. I don't know that. That's one of the rumor mills. Some of the people were really wild against selling it because they heard it was already sold. Well, if it is already sold, so what? If that's what we intend to do, sell it. If they already got a buyer, good, but resorts, what I've heard, I can't really speculate on it because I'm not involved
Stephanie,
in the
chamber. Stephanie, you travel all over the world.
What's that?
Sorry, I think we just had a little audio blip there. Oh. No worries. And shouldn't you know if it's already been sold and it's in your district, or is that not something that you would be privy to?
No, it hasn't been announced.
It has not. Okay.
It's just the rumor mill. I heard that. But, it didn't affect me trying to convince people to sell it because that's what the community wants. And I have to listen to the mayor, the chamber, and the economic development guys.
Okay. So back on the tax rolls, what exactly does that mean then?
That means that right now it's owned by the state, so they're not paying any taxes. It's 180 acres of prime Black Hills ground. And so whoever buys it, it'll go back on the tax rolls for the county to collect tax on it.
Do we know what the appraised value of the property is yet?
Do not. That was one of my concerns why I voted against it the first time. They were going to do the appraisal after we approved it to be up for sale. But there is a clause in there where they are going to have to appraise it so that it's sold at the appraised value. So there's not going to be, somebody in government or something that gets it on 10 cents in a dollar or anything like that.
Right. So let's talk about this notion that originally you were upset that, it did close. And we're talking, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Tim Goodwin, and our conversation is centering on the Star Academy in Custer right now. And you said a new crop of juvenile delinquents, ages into that range every year. So what are your thoughts about juvenile corrections in the state and how the state handles it?
Well, if we go back in time, approximately 20 years ago, Governor Jankel is the one that started the Star Academy. It started out as a military-type boot camp, and it did get brought back a little bit. But it was a place for, juvenile delinquents that were non-functional, truancy problems, whatever. They got sent there, and they got a chance to turn their life around. A lot of them, they got their records expunged so they could go into the military, and it really made a big difference in a lot of youth in South Dakota, not just the Black Hills area or West River. There was kids from all over the state. And so now, I guess that's a question I send back to the administration is, so where are all those kids right now? I had a meeting before the session started with the superintendents of all the schools in my district and the principals, and that was their hot button. Now we're stuck in with those troubled youth in school, and they're causing all kinds of disturbances, and there's nothing we can do. I mean, we just stuck with them, and then a lot of them drop out of school. And, of course, nowadays, if you drop out of high school, what kind of future do you have?
One of the other things that I remember strongly from our first conversation was your passion for social issues as a conservative and a Christian, and you brought up the transgender bathroom bill. We're hoping to bring it back. That also died fairly early. What were some of those conversations about?
Well, the Family Heritage Alliance, which I'm a supporter of, had the bill back on for this year, and then they decided to pull it. The reason they told me, Dale Barcher, the executive director of Family Heritage Alliance, was that the governor already said that he was going to veto it. Well, that kind of disappointed me because, first off, I wanted to find out if we had enough horsepower in this House to override a governor veto, which, we need 47 votes to get a two-third. And so I was disappointed because even if he did veto, I was hoping we could override it. So, I would like to see that go, full course and not pull it. Let's get it through committee. Let's get it on the House floor and let's debate it. If it wins, it wins. If it doesn't, it doesn't. If the governor vetoes it, let's see if we got enough horsepower to overrun it.
How about transportation? That was another committee that you served on. If memory serves, some of the highlights from that this session.
Transportation. Probably the hottest thing we had on transportation was drones.
Sure.
Drones are starting to be really popular. And they don't really fall under the FAA, I mean, there's some things there, but the FAA only controls the 200 feet and above, and of course, a lot of drones can go below 200 feet, and of course, a lot of them go above that, and that's a safety hazard for aircraft. And so there's a lot of things on drones that that came up that, I mean, you really had to think about it because it's, in our era, it's a new technology that we've never experienced in the past, and there isn't any history on it. And so we got some legislation on that. We tried to amend a couple things on it. The prison was concerned that in some states there's been drones flying over the penitentiary yard, for example, and dropping drugs off or crash landing in there with all kinds of drug paraphernalia and maybe even some weapons in that. And so I don't know. We amended it. I don't have the bill sitting in front of me, but you can look it up.
Sure.
And we amended it so that we took where you can't have the, you can't fly over penitentiaries or jails, and you can't go over military bases and that. We also wanted to have it where we didn't take the rights of private citizens. And so, a lot of farmers use it to check crops, to check their cattle. Maybe in the future they'll be used to shoot coyotes if there's an overpopulation of coyotes. So we tried to keep it so there was still liberty and people's rights still there, but of course we can't have them flying over penitentiaries or over military bases or things like that.
What's left to be done this week?
Oh, this week we got to get the budget approved, which I don't even see anything on the agenda today, so we'll try a last-minute maneuvering on it so we don't have a whole lot of time to debate. Yeah. And that's going to be a challenge. Also, there's a bill, Senate Bill 176, that has to do with protesters.
Right.
From what happened up in North Dakota, and trying not to have it happen here. But I personally think that bill's gone too far. It takes away a lot of liberties. They start having safety zones that the governor can just take private ground and make it a safety zone. without the landowner's approval. Also, there's language in there like if 20 more than 20 people protest, they could be arrested. And if you get arrested twice in less than a two-year time period, you're a felon. But we don't need more felons in South Dakota. Our county and penitentiaries are overloaded the way it is. And so I'm going to oppose that bill. Not that I'm for the pipeline. Everybody, when you say that, they think you're anti-pipeline, but I'm for a pipeline. I think it's the safest, more efficient way to transport oil. But I'm also for people's rights. And I think we've got enough laws in the books where we can, you know, stop what happened in North Dakota with just the laws we have now. We don't need to create new laws.
Anything you're looking for, vetoes and working on overriding those vetoes on veto
day? Yeah, there's two of them. The one veto is constitutional carry. Mm-hmm. It passed in the House 37-30. The governor said it before he even voted on it that he was going to veto it. And I disagree with that, too. I think the governor should let us debate representing the people. And then if he wants to veto it, that surely is right. But he shouldn't tip his hand ahead of time to try to sway votes, which he does. So that's 37-30. So if he vetoes it like he says he will and we come back on the 27th, we come back for one day, we'll have to see if we can get 47 votes to override it. That was probably the main one that I see that he's already announced he's going to veto. I'm sure there are other ones, too.
Right. What did you learn this year that you'll bring into next session?
That's a really tough question. I guess I thought people I thought the fellow Republicans, you know, it looked like we have a super majority in the House of 60 Republicans and 10 Democrats. And actually, I think a lot of the 10 Democrats, I've talked to them about going with me on bills, and they've actually been supportive. As far as being true conservatives amongst the Republican Party here in the House, I would say there's probably 20 of us, which is really a shock because I figured, you know, I didn't figure there'd be 40 that would have want big government, big spending, and liberal views. And that's what's been disappointing for me.
You've been listening to Representative Tim Goodwin from District 30. Tomorrow is the final day for a bill or joint resolution to pass both houses. March 27th is reserved for consideration of gubernatorial vetoes. Tim Goodwin, thanks for being with us on this busy Monday.
Hey, thanks again for having me. I really appreciate it.